You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Wednesday. No update right now on Chris Paul's status. The report was earlier this morning from The Athletic that he's entered the NBA's health and safety protocol, and he is going to be sidelined for an indefinite period of time, this according to The Athletic. No further update on Kawhi Leonard's status for tonight other than Brian Windhorst from the Mothership reporting that Kawhi's expected to miss Game 5 against the Jazz tonight with a knee injury suffered in Game 4. His status for the rest of the series is in doubt as well. That brings us to the final hour of the program. We spent a lot of time talking about the Bucks last night and their game plan against Kevin Durant, the brilliance of Kevin Durant. In fact, here's his head coach, Steve Nash, trying to put it into words what Kevin Durant did last night.
Historic performance. I mean, he played the entire game. He barely missed, got to the line, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, 49 points. I mean, it's ridiculous what he's able to do. We know he's capable of nights like this, but to do it tonight, you know, we lose Kai. You know, James obviously is soldiering through his ailments. We're down bodies, we're wounded, and for him to have the toughness, the mentality, you know, that's what makes him one of the all-time greats. And so this is a performance that, you know, a signature performance, you know, for Kevin, and it was beautiful to watch.
49, 17, and 10 as Brooklyn leads the series 3-2. Here's Kevin Durant on pretty much doing everything.
I know the perception of me is that I can score the basketball well, but, you know, any team that I've played on, I've been asked to do pretty much everything from rebounding to defending to initiating to scoring. I might not be, I might not do it all the time, but I do a little bit of everything out there. So I knew at some point that coach would ask me to screen, rebound, defend, bring the ball up, score, shoot three. So I just work on everything I can and practice. And when the game comes around, I just got to be ready to pull, you know, be ready to do anything. So tonight was one of those nights.
It was incredible. Really was. And James Harden, maybe he was going to be a distraction. Maybe he was a decoy. I respect the effort out of him, but I thought that he was out there and it was a detriment to the team because he couldn't shoot, couldn't guard anybody. Did that stop the Bucks from taking advantage of him being out on the floor? It did not. Did they double-team Kevin Durant? They did not. And now you head back home and you better win this game. This in from Adrian Wojnarowski. Stan Van Gundy is out as the New Orleans Pelicans head coach. He was supposed to bring some toughness there, some defense, and you did not have that. But that's a plum job. At least it feels like it's still a plum job with Zion there, young talent there, Ingram there. But Stan Van Gundy, one and done. As far as the next head coaches, here's some names. The Pelicans are expected to look at Jacques Vaughn. He is with the Brooklyn Nets. Jason Kidd also, this according to ESPN. Those are some of the names that are coming up. Becky Hammond is an assistant coach with the Spurs. And I have maintained for a couple of years now that I think when Greg Popovich leaves, that he will leave and Becky will be the first female head coach in the NBA. And she's done it before where she's the head coach in summer league. Dawn Staley is a name that's come up too, getting a chance to do some interviews. And they've certainly earned that. Becky has. Becky's been on an NBA bench for quite some time, a former very good player, WNBA. And maybe she'll get a chance to be a head coach. And I think she's interviewing at a couple of places, including Portland. But might get a chance for her to be the head coach. Maybe it's with the Spurs. Yeah, Todd.
And Pelicans assistant coach Teresa Witherspoon is also another name being floated around.
All right, good. Phone calls coming up. Nick Wright will join us, and we'll recap what we saw last night, get his thoughts on the Clippers without Kawhi in Utah tonight and the Hawks at the 76ers. Really, the NBA playoffs are about injuries. You start to run down the list of who's injured and how long they're out for, how serious the injury is. And I think that's what we're going to look back on with these postseasons, as who was healthy or healthy enough to win a championship. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. McLovin has an against the grain.
Yep.
And it's very, very important against the grain that he needed a couple of minutes, not just a piddly 2 minutes that I was going to give him last hour. So if you've stayed in your car because you want to hear McLovin's against the grain, here is the treat. So McLovin, you want to set this up and then we'll give you the stage.
Yeah. So our team, the against the grain team, the guys in the back of me have been scanning the OTAs throughout the NFL, and we have important numbers
okay.
from what we've learned. Hit
All
the
right.
music. All right. You may have read that Tua Tagovailoa had a tough day yesterday for
yes,
the Miami Dolphins.
Yes, he did.
So we crunched the numbers. He had 5 interceptions. That prorates out to 85 interceptions on the season. Now, that took us a while. We had to run them twice.
That would be an all-time record.
Yeah. We had to run it twice because we forgot there were 17 games at first.
Wait, Paulie, you're interrupting against the grain?
Can you spin it and make it sound like the Dolphins are going to have an unbelievable pass defense this year?
Yeah. That's a great point. Right, yeah. That's a great point. Next level. That's next level stats right there.
Okay.
By the way, apparently it was torrential rains and it was practice, but we're just going to ignore that fact for right now. Have you seen the reports out of New England? Let me give you some numbers on Mac Jones. Apparently, in the first 7-on-7 period, Jones got 4 reps compared to Cam Newton's 3 reps yesterday. And same for 11. Listen to this. Cam Newton, 9 of 17 in the competitive team drills. That's 52%, Dan. Are you feeling what I'm feeling?
I'm feeling this segment's going a little too long.
Too long? We just started.
Exactly.
Mac Jones is going to be...
Suddenly, I'm jonesing for a limerick or mock headlines.
Mac Jones on his way to possibly start. Okay. Zach Wilson, New York, you excited? You wouldn't be excited if you saw his numbers from Tuesday's practice. 5 for 10 from the field. That's 50%, Dan, in 11-11 drills. Trevor Lawrence didn't even participate in 11-11 drills because of a sore hamstring. What's going on there in Jacksonville?
This sounded like a good idea when we weren't on the air.
You think people want to hear NBA in their cars, Dan?
I don't know.
Honestly, they'd rather hear about practice stats from the NFL.
Okay. All right. Wait, Paulie is interrupting against the grain again.
I'm sorry, but again, I want to spin it positive. Zach Wilson not sacked once in practice for the Jets the other day. Offensive line peaking?
Yeah,
question mark.
He's got the red jersey on. I don't think you're allowed to sack him. All right. And, you know, I could give you Justin Fields' number
this is
from Chicago, yeah. But maybe you heard this from head coach Matt Nagy, and this is why I'm not going to give you Justin Fields' numbers.
Is there a possible scenario where Justin Fields plays on opening night?
No. I mean, Andy is our starter, and again, I can't predict anything, you know. You know how it goes. I mean, there's so many things that could happen between today and that week one, but Andy is our starter and Justin's our number two, and we're going to stick to this plan.
Wait, he can't predict anything? He's the coach.
Dan, there's only one analytic, the number that matters here. Okay. QB1, Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
It's happening. Get on the Red Rifle bandwagon, Dan. I know you have the Bears Cup, and I know why.
Does Andy Dalton start a game in October?
Week one, Dan. We're focused on week one, game at a time. That's against the grain.
Hey, I can't predict. Thank you, McLovin. Wow. Wow. A lot of times I know less after these segments, but thank you, McLovin. Let's see. What else do I have? Apparently, the USGA doesn't understand drama, or at least that's what most of us golf fans would like to believe, because why not pair Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau together at the U.S. Open? Instead, Koepka tees off at 10:30 Eastern tomorrow at Torrey Pines. DeChambeau won't start his opening round until about 6 hours later. The social media-driven rivalry between the two is still going on strong. Here is Bryson DeChambeau talking about his relationship with Brooks Koepka.
I think it's fun. There's a point where it's great banter. I personally love it. I think that, you know, as time goes on, I hope, you know, on the weekend we can play against each other and compete. I think it'd be fun and be great for the game.
Here's Brooks Koepka on his feud with Bryson DeChambeau.
I think it's good for the game. I mean, it's pretty much been on every news channel, pretty much everything you look at online. To me, that's growing the game. You're putting it in front of eyeballs. You're putting it in front of people the game of golf who probably normally don't look at golf, don't play it, might get them involved. So I don't know how it's not growing the game.
Well, then pair them together at the U.S. Open. If both understand what this means and, hey, it's good fun banter, then why aren't we doing this? because there was a report that the USGA did reach out to Bryson DeChambeau, since he's defending champ, and said, hey, we're thinking about pairing you with Brooks Koepka. I guess his agent has since denied that that conversation took place. But like, if the USGA didn't think that, then I would be surprised. That if they didn't think about pairing those two the first 2 days, now we can only hope is they play well enough that they'll be paired together maybe over the weekend. There was an interesting story yesterday, and I don't even know if you caught this or not, but this had to do with Cristiano Ronaldo. He was at a press conference, the Euros, where he's there at a press conference. And Coca-Cola is a very, very, very big sponsor. So the product is up there on the podium. You got CR7 up there, and he decides he's going to part the Coca-Cola C's, and he moves them all the way to the end of the podium. He just wanted his agua there. He wanted his bottled water. Well, that press conference coincided with a $4 billion drop in market value with Coca-Cola just because of what Ronaldo did. He was visibly upset when he saw those two bottles of a soft drink there, and he just wanted to talk about, you know, he's an advocate of a healthy diet, and, you know, he had his bottle of water there. But the share price dropped about $4 billion just in that time frame of about an hour. You can see it dip. When he says it, and then it dips, and then it eventually starts to come back up. Yes, Paulie.
If you're Coca-Cola, do you try to take advantage of this? And if Ronaldo's team gets knocked out, do you tweak them on social media? Say, should have had a couple sips at halftime.
Mm.
Do you poke the bear?
Mm. I wouldn't, considering that what the power is of Ronaldo, that if it goes down $4 billion, then I'd probably say, let's not say anything there. Maybe we do a Coke Zero Sugar up there next time. Like, put your different products. Coke has 200 products. Like, just put them in there and see if maybe he goes, oh, okay. Put all 200 brands worldwide up there. Yes, Todd.
You think there was a Coke conspirator that told him to do that when he got up there? It's possible. A Coke conspirator.
I got it.
He didn't act alone.
No, I got it.
Just didn't find
you,
it.
You did.
I thought you'd find that clever. I was wrong. I was obviously wrong.
I'm just clevered out today. Yeah.
You could never be clevered
out. Yeah,
really?
I'm clevered out. I am. I'm truly clevered out. Let's see. How about Kemo in Virginia? Hopefully I got that name right.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.
We love you, Toddler. I have a little haiku for Toddler.
Oh, okay. We got haiku.
Make me laugh, joke boy. Mock headlines. Make us laugh, joke boy.
Is that how haiku goes?
I don't know. That's baiku. I'm done. What did I miss there? Yes, Eden.
Next up, we've got Jim in Tulsa with a sonnet. He's calling.
Yeah, okay.
Making Todd look good there.
Yeah. There's some dramatic pauses there. Yeah, that's part of the haiku thing. I don't know.
I don't. Like, Peter King always has a haiku at the end of his column every Monday on Football Morning in America. I'm not a haiku guy, but if you are, hopefully you enjoyed that haiku from Kemo in Virginia. All right, let's take a break.
I like that our audience is testing their abilities to write, you know, poetic verse. Good, bad, or indifferent. It's, you know, get the creative juices flowing. It's fun. It's all good.
Yeah, but I think they got a workshop at some other place on another show.
And, yeah, you shouldn't be able to go right onto national radio TV like you've allowed me to do.
Yeah. Yes, yes, Paulie.
There's no show called Sonnets in the Morning that's tearing up the ratings. You know, yeah. Morning drive. Let's get some sonnets after the break.
Limerick and Tom in the morning. So are we good? We take a break here?
Oh, yeah.
Nick Wright, the popular Nick Wright, will join us coming up. And we'll get to more phone calls as well right after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Discover that Discover credit card. It's amazing. Matching all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn. It's amazing. even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards, they take Discover. You get used to hearing that word yes more often. You can learn more. Discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report and limitations, Todd, do apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. It's been a busy day in the NBA. Chris Paul's medical condition, Kawhi Leonard's knee, Stan Van Gundy getting fired by the New Orleans Pelicans. U.S. Open gets underway tomorrow from Torrey Pines. You can watch it on NBC Golf Channel and streaming on Peacock. We'll talk to Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1. First things first, he'll join us here in a couple of minutes. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Paulie has a new game, True or Not True.
Yeah, Dan, we have special custom music for this game.
Okay. And here it is in 3, 2, 1.
Sounds familiar.
Yes, it does.
Provincetown, Massachusetts on Friday, a veteran lobster diver, Michael Packard, went for a dive because you could dive to the bottom and grab lobsters, and he does this all the time. He's a licensed commercial lobster diver. You pluck lobsters off the sandy bottom. He's a 56-year-old man, lots of experience. All of a sudden, is a quote from him in the Cape Cod Times, quote, "All of a sudden, I felt a huge shove, and the next thing I know, it was completely black," Packard recalled Friday after his release from the hospital. "I could sense I was moving. I could feel the whale squeezing his muscles of his mouth. He was swallowed by a whale. Whales swim around and just open their jaws and swim around, and they don't really have teeth. And he says he was swallowed into the whale, like completely inside, not just the mouth, but all the way in. I could sense I was moving. I could feel the whale squeezing its muscles shut, and then it went dark. Initially, he thought he was in a great white shark, but when he couldn't feel or see any teeth and he didn't have any wounds, it dawned on him that he'd been swallowed by a whale. Quote, I was completely inside. It was completely black. I thought to myself, there's no way I'm getting out of here. I'm done. I'm dead. I was thinking of my kids. I was completely inside. There's nowhere to go. Then he said he was outfitted with scuba gear, so he still had air. He was struggling and shaking, and then the whale started to move. He was inside the whale, he estimates, for 30 or 40 seconds before the whale finally surfaced. When it surfaced, the whale turned over. He struggled, and the whale kind of spit him out into the water when the whale surfaced. He was in the hospital with just banged up, no real injuries, and he's going to be okay. Now, the follow-up is, the New York Post has a story that says some in the fishing community are doubting this man's story.
Ooh.
And they said that a doctor said he would be more injured than this, or there would be effects of being under the water and surfacing so quickly. So I'm going to go right now, because right now we don't know if the story is true or untrue by Michael Packard of Provincetown.
I'm going to take his word for it.
Who's on team true?
My Seton is. Back row right now is not. McLovin is a shark expert.
Yeah, you know, he's swimming in my waters here. Mm-hmm. When Paulie sent this email out, I'm like, yeah, this guy made the whole thing up. Who gets swallowed by a whale?
But he ended up in the hospital. Did you need to make up a story to end up in the hospital?
Yeah, but first of all, this guy seems crazy just by the nature of his profession. He free dives for lobster in great white infested waters. Seems like a character to me.
Yes, that means it probably could happen. Yes, Paul.
One issue here is a journalist swallowed. Was he in the mouth of the whale? But he wasn't obviously digested by the whale. To be swallowed, don't you have to leave the mouth area and go down to the stomach area?
Okay. I think whales have a very large mouthal area.
Mouthal.
And I think he was just in the mouth. I don't think he ever went down to the belly.
So he wasn't just me. Swallowed.
Would that count if he was in the mouth of a whale and the mouth was closed and he was underwear?
Yes, I'm still going to give him credit for getting out of said mouth, the mouthful area
that was
of the whale.
True or untrue, Dan?
I'm going to say true. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond from their customization options. Cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Nick Wright, First Things First co-host. He was there for the game last night. Bucks Nets game 5 at Barclays as the series now shifts to Milwaukee for game 6. And I have no idea what to expect from the Bucks. Well, both teams going into game 6, but let's reflect on game 5. Do you want to start with the obvious with Kevin Durant, or do you want to start with the Milwaukee Bucks game plan, Nick?
Let's start with the good. Let's start with the obvious and Kevin Durant. Do me a favor, Dan. At the end of this, leave 30 seconds because I have a question for you at the very, very end. But
okay.
We'll start with Durant. It's not only unquestionably the finest game of his career, and I don't know what the most impressive part is. I think it's the 48 minutes. Playing 48 out of 48, the only guy in this era that we've been able to rely on doing that is LeBron, and his body is just historically built differently. Like, I didn't think Durant could do that. He did it without ever resting at any moment. And when you look at the greatest wings of all time, Dan, LeBron, Michael, Kobe, and Bird, I am hard-pressed to find a playoff game that Bird or Kobe had that tops this one. Bird had 37-9-9 in a Game 7 to beat the Pistons in 87. He had an unbelievable Game 7 against the Knicks. Kobe had a 50-point game and a loss when he was undermanned the way Durant is to the Suns that year in 06 when they lost in 7. This is one of the finest playoff games a wing has played in NBA history. And it's the greatest game I've ever been in person for. And I don't think any of that is prisoner of the moment stuff. You obviously watched Bird live. I can't think of a time he was better than this.
Well, and I know you're talking about wing players, because I think what Magic did in the NBA Finals his rookie year when he played
better.
Center.
Absolutely.
You know, I could make a case for Clyde Frazier, Game 7 NBA Finals against the Lakers,
yep.
when he went 36 and 19 assists.
17 or something,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But what we saw with that team with no supporting cast around him, and it's one of those, that this is why I thought Steph Curry was the MVP this year. Everybody in the building knew that Steph was going to shoot, but he still led the league in scoring, and he was wonderful this year. Everybody in the building last night knew Kevin Durant was the option for this team, and somehow, someway, the Milwaukee Bucks thought, let's just put one game or one player on him.
Let's stay on that for a second, because before we get to the Bucks, ridiculous game plan on both sides of the ball, just infuriating. What you touched on there, it's in an odd way, Durant's brilliance last night is why fans were so mad at him for Golden State and then got mad at him all over again when they got Harden. Because what is your favorite Steph Curry season? Maybe this one. What are some of your favorite LeBron James moments in series? The 2015 Finals. When he was absolutely outgunned. Maybe the greatest LeBron game ever. Game 1 of the 2018 Finals. Where you want to watch John McClane in Die Hard against 12 terrorists. You don't want to watch 3 John McClanes against 2 terrorists. And so there is a part as a sports fan where you almost, you don't need to see it all the time, but you want to see the best in the world when they when the odds are totally stacked against them. And for Durant, aside from one playoff series against the Grizzlies after Russ got his knee blown or torn up by Patrick Beverley, he's always had an MVP alongside him in every playoff series he's played in. One with Golden State, Steph wasn't there, but Clay was. And so we never got to see this from Durant. I think people wanted to see it, even if that's unfair to him. Like, does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
This is what we wanted to see. Even if it's not sustainable for a career, you wanted to see it for maybe a season like we got to see from Steph this year.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great point. We're talking to Nick Wright, First Things First co-host on Fox Sports 1. I yelled at the TV last night, Nick. It's been a while since I've yelled at the TV, and I'm by myself. And I'm just wondering that at some point, does somebody on Milwaukee's bench tell Mike Budenholzer, how about we run another guy at Durant? How about we have him pick up his dribble? How about we double team him? If Danny Green's going to beat us, great. Harden's not going to beat us. Let's you know, I like our chances over here than I do with this. But you have one guy on him. You let him go right. You let him do what he wants to do. He was incredible. But I got to get the ball out of the best player's hands, Nick.
It was offensive coaching. You'd have done better. Whoopi Goldberg just from filming Eddie would have done better. Your older new listeners will like that. The drunk teenager, and I know teenagers aren't supposed to drink, but I'm pretty sure he's a teenager and pretty sure he was drunk, sitting behind me in the stands would have done better. A couple things. One is, our statistician, a guy named Dustin Wade, I want to give him credit. He tracked the game by hand at 3 this morning so I could have this info and now I'll share it with your audience. Kevin Durant was double-teamed, true double-teamed, 0 times all game. They sent a second guy at Durant so little, he took 0 jump shots with a help defender on him. Every time they sent a help defender on him, he made the pass. And they defended it as if Kyrie were out there and Harden was full strength, and it's like, we can't double him. Yes, you can. You can double him. And if Jeff Green goes for 47 instead of 27, then you lose. But I don't even think that was the worst coaching job. See, James Harden, what's the old line, Dan, a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest? James Harden was a one-legged man in Game 5 of the playoffs, and they didn't make him defend anybody.
I know.
How do you not just say, hey, he can't move at all, like, obviously. He's not a great defender when he's healthy. I thought in the first half, honestly, and this is me giving the Bucks coaching staff too much credit, I thought they knew that if they went at Harden, that Nash would take Harden out. And they were having such an easy way of it that they were like, we don't want Harden out. We know we can go to that if we need to. But they never went to it. That is the type of franchise-changing loss. You're up 17 with 7 minutes left in the third quarter, and the other team's got one guy, and you just let him shoot flames out his eyeballs and burn your house down. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And I know that if you look at the stat line, Greek Freak had a great night, but it's not how much you have, it's when you get that total. And he shot a fadeaway with James Harden on him. They didn't even double him. Harden said, I don't need a double, waved it away. And, you know, then he fumbles the ball with a turnover. He misses a free throw. Like, these are small things, and I know I'm nitpicking, but you nitpick with great players in these moments where you want them to be able to show you why they're better than everybody else. This is a 2-time MVP, and he shied away from going to the hoop because I think he was worried about shooting free throws.
Okay, you nailed that. A 2-time MVP and 1-time Defensive Player of the Year, and he guarded Durant on 2 shots last night. That ain't great. And Chuck said it. Your friend Charles Barkley, my friend Charles Barkley, said it after the game, and I think he's right, that the fadeaway, I think, is because he doesn't want to shoot free throws. And the fumble on what should have been an easy dunk, Charles said, and I'll take his word for it because he's been in this situation, not afraid of the shooting free throws, but in this situation in the game, that he said he rushed it because he was trying to go up too fast because he was afraid of getting hit. That's not tenable. And Giannis, I almost feel like at times the way we talk about Giannis, the way we talk about some of these superstars can be toxic. I get it, and I feed into that sometimes. And I see that Kawhi Leonard has like a real lower body, like, medical issue. I feel badly about some of my commentary from last year. But the other extreme of that is I think we're almost patronizing with some of our commentary to Giannis because everybody loves him. He's so likable. He's loyal. He almost seems childlike, like at times. And so we don't hold him nearly to the standard we hold anyone else in the league that has half of his accomplishments, which is you got to be better. You got to find a way to hold on to the lead and hold on to the ball. And he couldn't do either last night. And now the entire Bucks franchise is on the brink, not just the season.
It's been a busy day this morning. You got Stan Van Gundy's out. Scott Brooks is now out with the Wizards. And you got Kawhi out game 5 tonight. And Chris Paul is in COVID protocol. I mean, this is... I've said this the last couple of days. The healthiest team is going to win the NBA championship, it feels like. It's just all of the injuries. We're going to look back on these playoffs, and it'll be the year of the injury.
Yeah, what's amazing? I agree with you as far as the overall point. But you know what the healthiest team is? Milwaukee. And they're blowing it.
I know.
Like, they are actually the healthiest team, and they are blowing it. But yeah, I mean, you've got, if Chris Paul misses a game, you're going to have nine guys who made the All-Star game this year miss a playoff game. Think about that. Nine guys. Yeah. And then a 10th in LeBron, who was clearly not 100%. And speaking of the injuries thing, are you nervous for KD? I am. I don't think Nash has done a great job. I know I'm in the minority on that. I didn't understand how Harden can go from out to doubtful to questionable to 46 and a half minutes.
But I had a big problem with that, Nick. I worry more about Harden going 46 than I do Durant going 48, which sounds crazy considering what Durant's coming off of. But 46 for Harden, that's a whole lot of minutes.
It's a whole lot of minutes. And it's, I just, and, you know, we talked about it on TV this morning, and my co-host Brandon Marshall said, listen, sometimes it's not the coach's choice. If a guy is, you know, Harden stature says, I'm going to play, he's going to play. And I buy that to a degree. But it is certainly the coach's choice how much he plays. Yeah. And I'm guessing when James Harden's like, coach, I'm going to give it a go. He didn't think that meant he was going to sit for 94 seconds. I understand I don't want to play Mike James either if I'm Steve Nash. I think their best point guard option is Steve Nash. And you might say, well, Nick, then the Bucks would just, you know, torture Nash on defense. No, they wouldn't. They didn't torture Harden on defense. Nash could have suited it up, stood in the corner too. Maybe knocked down some threes. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Can I ask you my question?
Yes, you can.
Assuming it happens, okay. Do you want to go to game seven? Let's do it, Dan. Come on. You and I have never hung out. You can't be that far of a drive. I don't get any comp tickets like you. I'm not fancy. I don't sit in press area. I sit amongst the people. Good, not amazing seats. Now, if you want to go and you want to pay for them, we can upgrade them. That's fine. But otherwise, let's go to a game seven, man. Come on. Make the drive. Do it, Dan. You don't have to commit right now, but promise me you'll think about it. Saturday night, my family's out of town. I'm all alone. I took my wife and daughters to the game yesterday. They all leave me tomorrow. I'm going to be sad by myself unless you come. Let's go. Let's do it, Dan.
Wait, so game seven is?
If it exists, it's Saturday night.
I am visiting my son and his wife.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't even know that you have a son.
I do. I do. I have one. And he's in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm going to go visit him.
Wow. Right now, Fritzy, booking your plane ticket just so you have the alibi checked out.
No.
Wow. You'd rather go visit?
And it's worth buying a fake ticket than to go, I think, with you to the game. Because if you had better seats, then I could – you know what? How about McLovin? McLovin lives in Brooklyn. Yeah. He lives right by Barclays.
10-minute train ride. Where, you know, I'd like to sit up closer, but I could settle.
Well, listen, I don't buy terrible seats. I was like 12th row behind the Nets bench last night. What I'm saying is I feel like, you know, Dan Patrick's motto has been, if your feet ain't on the wood, it's no good. And I don't got Dan Patrick money. I got Nick Wright money.
Okay, but are you just saying you don't want to have McLovin go with you? Just say that, Nick.
What I'm saying is I'm visiting my son in Charleston, South Carolina, McLovin. I'm sorry. otherwise,
okay.
We'd be
all
in
right.
there.
And that is fair. It's a great excuse. I'm going to use that one day.
You should.
I'll take your ticket. God. If you're going to be in Charleston with Dan.
You know what, Nick? The next round, then we'll go to a Brooklyn game. How about that?
Oh, okay. Locked. If they make it, do you think they can win a game without Durant doing this? Like, that's the other thing. Is like, does Durant have to do this again?
I think he's gonna have to come close to it. Now Harden can't be as bad as he was, but then Danny Green is probably not gonna knock down. Same thing. He's not gonna be shooting the way he did. Probably, maybe Joe Harris comes alive. You know, pick up the white courtesy phone.
Do you think when Joe Harris goes in the locker room and he takes off his jersey, he's actually Kyle Korver? And it's like, hey, look, the greatest 3-point shooter in NBA history until the playoffs start. And then it's tied to the backboard.
Wow.
Like, was that unfair?
Yeah, might have been.
Am I still bitter that Korver cost LeBron that game three against Durant in 2017? Maybe. A little bitter.
I'll see you in Charleston this weekend.
Absolutely. Our sons, we're all going to force them playing golf. It'll be great.
That's Nick Wright, First Things First, co-host Fox Sports 1. Sorry about that, McLovin. That one hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried to sell it. I thought maybe you live close.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take a break here. I think we need to kind of, you know what? You got Meet Thursday tomorrow. So this is your chance to feel good about yourself.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Steaks on the grill. It's going to be great.
I like it. All right. Let's take a break. We'll close up shop after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Stan Van Gundy is out in New Orleans. Scott Brooks out as the Wizards head coach. Kawhi's out for game five tonight. And we don't know how long Chris Paul will be out, if he will be out, with the Western Conference Finals. Maybe it's easier to say who's in instead of who's out. Yes, Seton O'Connor, you have a question for me?
Well, we were talking about maybe there's like a guest ratio to limerick ratio.
Okay.
Ooh. So like if Fritzy has one guest book, he's capped at one limerick.
But he had three guests today.
Well, not when the show started.
Also, the cutoff is when the show starts.
Yeah, 9 a.m. Eastern.
Okay. Well, he got Chris Mannix and then John Wertheim. And then I told him to call Nick Wright.
Right.
I'm open to the idea, though, that if Todd books a guest during the show, then he can add a limerick in.
Okay. Okay, so what's the policy? What's the limerick policy for Todd?
So like tomorrow, how many limericks would we have?
Well, I like to read what he's saying with his limerick.
How about you're not picking up on what Seton's saying that we don't have any guests for tomorrow.
I know that.
Okay, that was the whole idea behind what he said, and that was the only.
No, it's a shot, and I'm not taking a shot at you today.
I just wanted to make sure you were picking up on the fact that we have no guests yet. But
I moved right past that.
Okay, you're a little more mature than the rest of us.
So he doesn't have to work on any limericks tonight. He could work on guests.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about all that guests. Limerick pressure.
Yeah. Ken in Wyoming joins us on the program. Hi, Ken.
Hey, DP. First time trucking across Wyoming today with my faithful Beagle Lily. We've got 2,198 cases of beer at 45,000 pounds.
Nice.
Hey, I just want to tell you guys I appreciate you all. You help fill some time 3 hours a day while I'm trapped in my truck. I'm here for it all. Bad limericks, bad against the grains, bad whatever. Seton needs to pick up with his bad content game a little bit, I think. But I'm here for it all. Keep it coming. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Well, thank you, Ken. And good luck with your Beagle there, driving with beer. I like how we almost get compliments on this show.
I listen every day for 3 hours while I'm stuck in my truck.
Yeah. Hey, I lost a limb over the summer, and I've been sitting at home, and I can't change the TV with the remote, but I like what you guys do a decent job.
You guys sure beat silence on the open road. You sure beat silence.
Got this IV in my arm. I have no chance of changing the show.
I can't get up. I'm wearing a diaper, and I just want to say you guys got a great show. All right, thank you.
All right. Did 900 miles yesterday, and 8 of them I laughed. 8 of 900 miles, I was laughing at you guys.
What else do we have here? Derek in Virginia. Hi, Derek. What do you have for me today?
Hey, DP. Thanks so much for taking my call. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
That crazily enthusiastic reaction of the local Tampa Bay Lightning radio host taking a 2-1 lead in the second period against the Isles was, of course, hilarious. Like, they just won the cup in overtime. Like, but that's the biggest deal in the world for that gentleman. So you're the best ever to ask questions in sports media. So my question to you is, you have a different approach for formulating leading questions of small market players and media members versus large market players and media members? Thanks so much, and hope you and the crew have a wonderful day.
All right, thank you, Derek. I'm not sure I was following what Derek was
saying. I think he's trying to say for that local announcer, because the team, it's very important, the hockey.
Yes.
It's worthy of that level of effort.
Is it?
Second period, we're pretty deep in the playoffs.
We shouldn't be surprised at the Lightning doing well, should we? And it's a first period 2-1. It seemed like it was a little bit above the call of duty there. That's all. I just kind of having some fun. Yes, Todd.
But this is partly your fault, because in the sports center world, sometimes you feel like, is that contrived so they can get on some top 10 list, or it's going to go viral on whether it's sports center or on the media because you have this outrageous call that made.
No, but I'm not accusing him of that. I just thought it was a little. It sounded like it was an overtime goal. That's all.
Kucherov makes a little move. Hafidin, for Pallon, score!
What a play!
Now, if I would have told you that's how the game ended, then you'd say, wow, okay, that was dramatic. Then it's first period, it's 2-1. Play it again, Seton.
Kucherov makes a little move. Hafidin, for Pallon, score!
Okay, so.
What a play.
Great feed from Kucherov to Pallon. It's 2-1 Lightning.
I think the announcer for the Hindenburg sound less excited than that call. Yes, Pauline.
But it's the other guy that makes it funny for me. What a play. That was a nice goal.
Yes, Tom.
And it's often the other way around. The play-by-play guy keeps the professionalism, and the analyst goes up screaming and yelling like a lunatic.
Normally. You know, maybe I never invested in a team like that and got that excited. Maybe that's – I'm jealous of that. This day in sports history, Pauline, do you have anything?
Yeah, I got a couple. Let's see. Oh, this is bad. 1975, this is going for Lakers fans. Milwaukee Bucks traded Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to the LA Lakers. How did that happen? I wasn't around for that, obviously, but like...
He wanted out.
But the Bucks couldn't have said, there's no way. I mean, you had the best basketball player on earth under contract.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, he wanted to go to Los Angeles.
1981, the Chicago Tribune purchased the Chicago Cubs for $20 million from the Wrigley Corporation.
Well,
it's a pretty nice deal.
Yes, it is.
1993, Michael Jordan scored 55 points at NBA Finals games against the Phoenix Suns. Jordan became the first player to score 50 in a Finals game since blank in 1969. Since blank in 1969.
Jerry West.
Jerry West is correct.
All right, thank you. Let's see. What do we need here? Go around the room. What we learned on the program. I'll start with you, Todd.
Chris Mannix expects Mike Budenholzer would be shown the door if the Bucks don't get out of this round.
All right. McLovin, what did you learn today?
I learned in this day in sports history, Wisconsin athlete wants to go to L.A. Sound familiar? Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, I thought you were saying the Greek freak.
Kareem Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. Wait, the Greek freak wants out too?
No. I don't know that. No, I don't think. He just signed his new contract. Seton O'Connor.
Nick Wright also visiting his son in...
in Charleston, South Carolina. Paulie?
John Wirth. I'm not a fan of 1983 or 1985.
Yeah, but 1984, glory days, great book. What We Learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Hey, tune in tomorrow and find out if we have any guests.
Or limericks.
Oh, and limericks as well. We'll talk to you then. Have a great day. One more item. We close out the show. U.S. Open getting underway on Thursday from Torrey Pines. I always like to see who's using the clubs that I'm using. Who's got that epic driver? Callaway using artificial intelligence to bring you the future of speed. The epic drivers, there's a family of epic drivers, and they have jailbreak speed frame, jailbreak technology. And what it does is that it will reduce the amount that the driver head twists and deforms when you hit the ball. And that means more energy stays on the driver face and transfers to the golf ball, more energy on that golf ball, more speed, more distance, right? Put it all together. The epic driver is... Well, they have one for everybody. You have most players like the forgiveness of the Epic Max. I have the Epic Speed. It's the fastest Epic. And the better players are using the Epic Max LS. It capitalizes on the tour preferred combination of low spin plus high stability. Check out the entire Epic family of drivers. And they are that epic. CallawayGolf.com/Epic.